We come this morning to the conclusion of Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. He speaks to us this morning. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard, meaning Israel? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. Holy Father, would you cause this beautiful word to bear fruit for your glory in our hearts and souls and in our context? And I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So through Romans 9 and through Romans 10, we've been talking about the sovereignty of God and how He uses it to accomplish His purposes. And I don't want you to miss the takeaway here. This is important. God is using His sovereignty to save the world, to save sinners, to save us. God sovereignly sent His Son into the world to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Don't lose sight of this. Without the sovereignty of God, we would not believe. We would not come to faith. We would not endure and persevere to the end. We would not be saved. This is what God is sovereignly purposing to do in your life. Now, our text speaks to how God is doing that. Let me take you back to Romans chapter 8 for just a minute and remind you of when we talked about that golden chain of salvation. Remember those five inseparable, unbreakable links in Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. These five unbreakable links in this golden chain of salvation, but they're on one side of the coin. Remember, we're talking about two sides of the coin of salvation. On the other side of that coin of salvation is our text with another golden chain of salvation. Five unbreakable links. How then will they call on whom they've not believed? How will they believe in whom they've not heard? How will they hear without somebody preaching? And how will they preach without being sent? Or to run it backwards, God sends preachers. He sends messengers. He sends ambassadors. He sends those who will speak this word of Christ. And when they speak, when they preach, people hear. And when they hear, they believe. And when they believe, they call on the name of the Lord and they are saved. Now, I just want to be clear. Preaching is not just what happens on Sunday morning. It happens whenever anyone shares the good news of the gospel with someone else. Now, picture for a moment. Picture a situation where no one is sent. No preacher, no teacher, no evangelist, no missionary, no Christian. How poor would that place be? How dark is that spiritual poverty? No hope, no life, no salvation. The gospel does not fall out of the sky like manna or like rain. The gospel just doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by accident. The only place where there is the gospel is where God, by an act of His special providence, has sent someone to speak. And when God does that, it is the hand of the living God. It is proof of His divine love. It is the kindness of His grace. Indeed, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. To call those feet beautiful means that the message is eternally significant. It contains the only hope of eternal life. Nothing else in the world is as highly valued, as greatly praised by God as the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that some of you listen to a lot of news. You have your favorite news sources, you read the news, you follow the headlines, you watch Fox or CNN or network news or local news. But is it good news? Is it life-saving, life-giving, soul-redeeming news? Can you imagine how our lives, how our souls, our families, our community might be changed, might be impacted if we listened to and read as much of the good news as we do of the other news? The gospel is good news, the likes of which you have never heard before. It is the best news. Nothing makes our world more beautiful than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just think of all the ugliness in our world, in our own hearts, in our homes, in our community, in our nation, and think how beautiful they are made by the right believing and right loving and right living out of the gospel. Now, in this context, I wonder if you've heard the saying, I've heard it repeated many times, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Have any of you heard that saying? Does that get around town? Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. That's false. I mean, yes, your lifestyle matters, and yes, our actions can negatively affect our words. But the gospel has not been proclaimed until we have used words. Christianity is word-based and word-centered. Creation was created how? By the Word. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. Hearing the Word is absolutely essential for salvation. It is helped secondarily by our actions, and yes, a cup of cold water is a good thing, but a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, in the name of the gospel, well, there's no place in Scripture where the gospel is shared without words. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, Paul writes, "In the wisdom of God, it pleased God through the folly of what we preached to save those who believe." Without preaching, we will die. Without hearing and listening and heeding and believing, we will die. This is why preachers' feet are beautiful. I was tempted for about 3 seconds to come up here barefoot, but I thought better of it. And that, of course, isn't what it's about. It's the arrival. It's the coming of the gospel. Why anyone who shares the gospel has beautiful feet. But gospel preaching is not enough by itself, not enough by alone. There is nothing worse and there's nothing more dangerous than being a hearer of the word and not a doer, being a hearer of the word and not a believer, a responder, an obeyer. And this, of course, is the problem with Israel. And this is the point of Paul quoting from the Old Testament 6 times. 6 times he goes through the Old Testament showing Israel's culpability for their unbelief. That God has not failed, Israel has failed. And so he starts by quoting Isaiah 53, verse 1, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Isaiah is saying, Lord, who has believed us? Now you know Isaiah 53, right? That chapter should ring a bell for you. We just heard it in the Lenten reading, and we heard it last week in the Lenten reading. It's the clearest gospel preaching in the Old Testament, proclaiming the substitutionary atonement of the suffering servant for our sins. Here's a portion of it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Stricken for the transgression of my people, he bore the sin of many. There it is, the glory of Christ in the glory of the gospel, beautifully proclaimed to Israel, but not all hearing is hearing. There's a hearing that leads to believing, and there's a hearing that believes to hardening. But get this. This is Isaiah, the prophet preaching. Israel was never without the word. They were never without the prophets. They were never without the beautiful feet, but she was without faith. Not everyone who heard was saved. The gospel must be more than heard. It must be listened to and acted on and believed. So the question is, did Israel hear? Were they ignorant? Were they uninformed? Do they have an excuse? How many people will try to come up with an excuse? Why did Israel not believe? And there must be a good reason. Surely somehow they missed it in complete ignorance. You know, the way that we all plead ignorance when we get pulled over. The way I pleaded ignorance when I got pulled over on the way to Moscow, about 10 miles this side of Colfax on Highway 26. He said I was going 70 in a 55. I said, no, it's a 65. And he said, no, it's a 55. And I said, well, when did it change from 65 to 55? And why would it do that out here in the middle of nowhere? I pleaded ignorance, and it didn't do any good. Well, he did knock it down to 9 over, which was a mercy, but I was guilty of not paying attention. Next time I drove to Moscow, sure enough, you know, there's a sign right there, this side of Colfax, 55. Who knew? Israel knew. They heard. And so Paul doubles down and quotes David's great Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's available to everyone, everywhere. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and Paul talking about how they willfully didn't pay attention. But here we have it. Creation, thunder and lightning, hail and tornadoes, the Milky Way, the explosion of color in Linden in the spring, Mount Baker, the ocean, everything screams to us the glory of God. And God is extremely generous in displaying His glory all over the earth. They heard all right. There's no denying that. Everyone has heard. You have to be committed to denying God to miss it, which is, of course, what evolutionists and atheists do. They are committed to denying God. Day after day, night after night, it surrounds us. We're without excuse. And so Israel was actively turning away from it. They shut their ears. Paul compares creation to the gospel and how Jesus is a continuation of the extravagance of God in putting His glory on display. And Paul is now writing to the Romans, what, about two decades after Jesus, between two and three. The gospel has gone everywhere. God brought this great persecution into Jerusalem, and He scattered the Christians, and they scattered throughout all the Roman Empire. The Jews in Paul's day heard the gospel. Wherever Israelites were, there the gospel was re-preached. Remember how Paul would go from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. The Jews heard the claims of the risen Christ, and they could not blame their unbelief on the fact that no one told them. They heard the word of Christ. And then Paul, continuing, goes from Isaiah to David, and now from David to quoting Moses. Moses, at the end of his life, in his final sermon, preaching to Israel, Moses with beautiful feet, pleading with Israel. It's in Deuteronomy 32. It's called the Song of Moses. So he puts it into poetic form, and he puts into this song in verses that Israel must sing. Here's some of the words. Israel stirred God to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked God to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had not known, to new gods that had come recently and their fathers had not dreaded. And he said, God said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. And here's the direct quote that Paul picks up. They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Israel's unfaithfulness provoked God's righteous jealousy, and so God gives His blessing to another people to make His people jealous and angry and turn back to God. God brings the Gentiles into the covenant until the Jews will realize what they have lost. Israel knew. They sang in their liturgy how God would make them jealous with a nation that didn't understand, that wasn't seeking Him, by a foolish nation. God is willing to use envy and jealousy to drive people to the gospel. And so God said, you are my people, but you are obstinate and stubborn, and so I will make you angry and jealous. If you won't have me as your God, then my people will be the foolish Gentiles. And then God says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient, contrary people. All day long. And God is still doing that. All day long. Endlessly patient with even the most stubborn and obstinate of people. Let me close with two implications of this, two applications of this, two sides of this coin of salvation. First, remember back in Romans 9 at the beginning when Paul kind of launched into this whole issue of dealing with Israel's unbelief. And he says that about the Jews, they are Israelites. To them belongs the adoption. To them is the glory, the Shekinah glory. To them are the covenants and the law and the worship and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs and the prophets. And from their very race will come the Messiah. All of these blessings. They had every spiritual blessing. And who are the Jews today? Who has the spiritual blessings? This afternoon, go read Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every spiritual blessing. The Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We have the adoption by the Spirit, enabling us to say, Abba, Father. We have the riches of His grace lavished on us. We have the sacraments. We have the church, the blessed body of Jesus Christ. We have the elders and the pastors and preachers and the missionaries. We have the Word of God in our very own language. We have all the church fathers, all who have gone before us, the history, the heritage from generation to generation. Is there a more blessed people on earth? And what have we done with the blessings? What are we doing with the blessings? Are we obstinate? Are we stubborn, contrary, unfaithful? Are we guilty of resisting Him or ignoring Him or loving our idols or not paying attention? Week after week, you listen. You sing. And to what effect? Have you taken it to heart? God is stretching out His hands to you all day long, day after day. Not a day goes by that God is not patiently holding out His hands to you. Not a day goes by when He is not sending means or methods or messengers. His voice is always going out. He never stops pursuing the lost. Make sure that you're not abusing, misusing, not using, hearing but not hearing. Don't ignore the most beautiful gift that you have ever been given. That's the one side. On the second side, for those of us who have heard and have responded and believed the gospel unto salvation, we have received this beautiful gift to share it, to pray for others, to be willing to be sent by God to others, to be beautiful feet. Phil Stevenson preached on this 2 weeks ago in Mission Sunday when he took us to 2 Corinthians 5 about God entrusting us to be messengers of reconciliation. Somebody told you. Several somebodies told me. Who can we tell? Be willing every day to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me across the room or across the office or across the classroom or across the street or with a phone call or a text or an email or to somebody standing on the sidelines at the soccer game or a friend out to lunch. If you're going to gossip, here's the gossip. Gossip the good news of the gospel. That's the best gossip I know. Let that be on your lips. One of the most beautiful things that you can do in this world is to get out of your shell, out of your comfort zone, and tell someone the good news of the gospel. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, yeah, but I'm not very articulate. I'm not very good with words. I might get tongue-tied. There's other people who can do it better than me. I get nervous. Yes, all of that and more. The power of the gospel to save is not in us. It's not how smart we are. It's not how good we are with our words. It's the Holy Spirit's power to apply the gospel and change hearts with even the most humble and simplest of words. Evangelism is successful not because of us, because God is sovereign. It's His word. It's His power that saves, not ours. He does what we can't do, and He delights to do it. He gets the glory. Receive it, share it. For as Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God be the glory. Amen. And let's pray. Holy Father, cause us here to hear and believe and act on what we believe. And thank you for those who have been beautiful feet in our lives. And would you open our mouths to love others with the gospel. Lord, make us instruments in adding to your church those who call on your name and are being saved. Truly, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen.